everybody, and welcome back to Trinity's podcast, What's the Point? I am Katie O'Connell. I'm the Digital Communications Coordinator here at Trinity, and I'm joined with
Heather Day, Director of Children and Family Ministry,
and
Pastor Tim, or T-Dog, or whatever the kids call me these days.
Oh, T-Dub.
T-Dub. No, it's usually just
And Tom. What's your role here, Pastor Tom?
Associate Pastor.
Wow. All right. Today we are going to, I'm going to make this disclaimer first. If this episode is a little bit echoey, it's because we're in a new space. We're just kind of testing out different places, figuring out what is the best place for us to record. So just bear with it. But today we're going to be talking about Good Friday. But first, I'm going to start with Tom.
Yeah.
Tom, what is your favorite Jesus movie, show, episode?
Okay, so here's where I struggle a lot with this. Yeah. So I took a class in seminary called Jesus, Real to Real. Real to like a film reel.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so we got to look at all these Jesus movies, and I enjoyed a lot of them just to watch how the depiction of Jesus changed throughout time. And I think my favorite Jesus movie is not a Jesus movie.
What is it?
And perhaps it's less about Jesus, but how perhaps God can redeem us, even though we're crappy. It's Gran Torino with Clint Eastwood.
Okay, wait, tell me more. Tell me more, yeah.
Okay, so I'm not saying this was Jesus, but Clint Eastwood plays Walt Kowalski, a super racist old white dude, yeah. All right? But the best part is how his relationship with his new neighbors transforms him and how he interacts with the community and how he ends up, spoiler alert, he ends up dying, but he dies and falls to the ground and he's splayed out like he's on the cross.
Oh.
And he's executed by a gang, essentially. So it's really,
Careful
getting,
there,
I'm getting
buddy.
Crazy. I'm just you throwing are. My arms everywhere.
Holy bucket.
So I really like that movie. Through that lens. But if I had to pick a Jesus movie, probably Life of Brian.
That's what I was going to say too.
You know,
yeah.
I don't know, because I think it's a great satire on perhaps how we misinterpret things sometimes.
Oh, absolutely.
I've never seen it.
You should.
I know.
It's good.
Brian's really a good. Very naughty boy. You gotta go see it.
No, you guys should just keep quoting it and giggling, and I'll just look at you like you're crazy. That's good.
No, I had to say that one because, I really liked VeggieTales growing up, and I was like, wait, but I don't ever remember seeing an episode or whatever of VeggieTales with Jesus in it. And it turns out because they couldn't do that. That was not a thing that they could do.
Why?
I looked it up and I don't remember. So you should Google it though, because I remember being very shocked. Like they could, I want to say it was maybe because there was something to do, I'm pretty sure, with depicting Jesus as a vegetable.
Fair.
You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Benny is fine, right? But not Jesus.
Interesting. I mean, fair. So it wasn't like a copyright issue. Jesus, trademark.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. So very interesting. So that's why I had to go with Life of Brian.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now I'm going to think of Jesus as a potato from now on.
Were there any potatoes on VeggieTales?
I have no idea.
I tell my kids that potatoes don't count as vegetables.
They're starches.
So, I don't know.
I don't know. See, I was thinking, I picture Jesus as definitely either asparagus or like broccolini or something like that, you know? Like just very tall, but definitely had a beard.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, my favorite Jesus movie is not a movie. It's not a movie. I went a different direction and I picked a book because that's what I do.
Of course.
So have you heard of or read The Book of Longings by Sue Monk Kidd? Maybe not. It's like a fairly recent book in the last 5 years. She wrote The Secret Life of Bees.
That's why I know the name.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So she wrote The Book of Longings, and the main character in the Book of Longings is, I think her name is Anna, and she ends up marrying Jesus. And so it's fictionalized, clearly, but like it's about her story and like what it was like to be a woman at that time and like her, you know, what her longings were for her life and then how her life intersected with Jesus. And then, you know, he's on the road a lot. Mm-hmm. Like first he was with his cousin for a while mm-hmm. and then, you know, doing other stuff. So like he's not in the book a lot, but it's just, it's such a cool way of just like thinking about what life was like at that time and how there were just kind of a reminder that there were like other people around Jesus besides mm-hmm. just Jesus and the 12 disciples. Like there was this whole world. Super cool. I love it a lot. So that's my favorite Jesus movie.
It's not a movie.
It's not a movie. I know.
You tried.
I couldn't actually think of any Jesus movies.
I had to look some up because I was like, do I know any Jesus movies? And then I was like, oh yeah, I do.
Okay. But that's the thing. Like they're... I don't know. Feel free to, you know, email me some hate mail on this. There are a lot of bad Jesus movies out there.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely horrible.
Okay, but what about, like, Jesus Christ Superstar?
Ugh. Okay,
with
so, like...
John Legend?
So, like,
well,
yeah.
That one's fine. Like,
it's fine.
That one's fine.
But I'm talking about, like, not just, like, Jesus, but, like, faith movies.
Yeah.
Like,
I love football, but Facing the Giants... Oh my gosh. What a horrible message.
Oh, I don't know that
if
one.
You pray hard enough, you can win football games Ooh. And cure infertility issues. Ooh. Like, whoa. I'm pretty sure that's not how this thing works.
Yeah.
Anyways, so like those bug me. So whenever I see a Jesus movie, I always have a lens. Mm-hmm. Like, what's really going on?
Really, like most media about Jesus, I would say. Most of it makes me go like, I don't.
Isn't there a new Jesus movie coming out, like relatively soon? And I can't remember the name of it, but I've seen previews of it, and
it's gonna be great. We'll watch it together, and then we'll do like a review on our podcast.
There we go.
That'd be so fun, actually.
Yeah, I want to know if you're listening. Like, what are your favorite or least favorite Jesus movies?
Yeah, and why?
Yeah, and why?
Yeah,
yeah.
Or books.
Like, I remember seeing...
Some of us like books better.
Or TV shows. I would take a TV show, too.
I remember seeing The Passion of the Christ.
Oh, yeah.
On Good Friday as a kid.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
As a kid.
My parents were like, yeah, sure, it's a Jesus movie.
And they, that's a big
family
Jesus
friend
movie.
Took us, and it was like, oh, my.
Oh, wow.
But also points where I'm like, I don't think that part's in the Bible. I don't think
fact that, check.
Yeah, where's the snake in the story? I don't remember. But then you know you dive deeper and so it's like a fusion of the gospel and like a vision from a Catholic nun, like from ancient times. So it's not like, but people, I don't think a lot of folks realize that, like that it was not this intentional depiction of the gospel, but a vision.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen the movie, but I had never heard that before.
You're not missing much.
I also haven't seen the movie, but the little bit that I have, like the clips, I'm like, I think I don't need to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 300 meets Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's blood. Hey, anyways, something that I think, you know, we're talking about Good Friday and some of the... I guess you could say, icky stuff of Good Friday kind of gets into our awkwardness about how Good Friday is, gets into our worship services, because I think worship on Good Friday looks very, very different than a lot of other worship service experiences, whether it's a Sunday or it's, you know, Palm Sunday or Maundy Thursday, or even like here at Trinity for our Wednesday services, you know, it's a more chill. Good Friday, I think, is intentionally weird.
Yeah, not chill.
Not chill.
No,
not at all.
Unchill.
Like, it should be unsettling.
Yeah. That's a good word. Jinx.
You owe me a cup. And not like, as a pastor, I never want to have someone feel uncomfortable or maybe, yes, uncomfortable and unsettled, but not like, to the point where they don't feel welcome in church anymore. But just like, this is a different day. We need to experience what's going on in a different way.
Yeah.
So it's okay to be unsettled and to need to talk it out a little bit. So anyways, I wanted to ask, what are your Good Friday experiences? Like, or what do you like or not like about Good Friday?
Mm. Well, I said in an earlier podcast that I love the music on Good Friday.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of music we don't ever sing any other day of the year.
Yeah.
But it's usually the same every year. And it all just has that really unsettling feeling. And especially when it's, I don't want to say when it's done well, but like when.
But like when it's done well.
When it's done well. But yes, when it's done well.
When it's done well.
And I mean, and when, you know, like the lights are going down.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like it feels like a real experience
yes.
to be in church on Good Friday.
Yes.
And that. Yeah, it feels weird to say I like that, but that is meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can remember as a kid, I mean, I don't know if you guys would go to church on Good Friday as kids, but, you know, lots of people, and I know for many years, my favorite, like, we would go on Palm Sunday, we would go on Easter Sunday, but, like, the thought as a teenager of, like, oh my gosh, I have to go an extra time to church this week. Like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
So, you know, some years we did it, but then I can remember going sometime and either having nailing something to the cross or like having chicken wire around a cross and putting pieces of paper in it or just having really like physical experiences on Good Friday. I'm also thinking of, a year here at Trinity where people, it was like a reader's theater.
We're kind of telling
the story and people would be like sitting in the congregation with a microphone. And so it wasn't anything to look at. It was just listening and, you know, playing different roles and kind of telling the story that way.
Yeah.
We should just do it as a podcast.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
I'm kind of impressed with your experiences of Good Friday, especially as a kid, because like, I mean, growing up, I had none of those experiences. Mm-mm. It was like from the book, like we're just doing the book.
LBW.
Yeah. It was LBW / ELW when that came out, you know, like we do not stray from that, which, well, I take that back. They did do like a choral performance of the Passion.
Oh,
Or the seven last words, which was fine, but there's a lot of anti-Semitic leanings in that. And so I, so like, when you have the choir just shouting out, the Jews, like,
yucky.
I don't know. And I was venturing towards seminary and I'm like, that's a little problematic. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I know what they're trying to do with just taking the piece, but like, we could make some edits, right?
Right.
I don't know.
What about you, Katie?
Oh, I'm trying to think. I feel like it's all been, I don't know, very, very moody. Like, kind of what you were saying, Heather, like the lights have always been kind of just low and it's a lot of, I don't know, just moodiness, a lot of somber, is that the word that I want to use? Yeah. Very somber, very, I guess more, I would argue a little bit more traditional.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it hasn't really been anything that I guess others haven't experienced, if that makes sense. Like it's never for me been anything super out there. There was, I think we actually did this on Monday, Thursday instead of Good Friday, but when I was at the previous church I worked at, I cannot for the life of me remember the group's name, but it's a local, more local group, and they mime out like the Passion story, and that was very interesting. So it was just different scenes of everything, but definitely obviously the crucifixion really stood out because it was, that was kind of the one point of it all where you kind of heard any sort of noise.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I guess my mind also really goes to, so I worked at Luther Park for a bajillion years, and we went from the Christ Walk to the Passion Play. But in both of them, same deal, crucifixion happened as it does every year.
Every week?
During the summer, every week. But yeah, and so I guess for me that stands out more than any other Good Friday service that I've been to. And I think it's just because it made it just that much more real for me. It's seeing it, hearing, even though I know that the people are acting, like hearing them crying out in that pain, seeing them being whipped, you know, having to carry the cross or whatever down the road and all that good stuff. So that's kind of what stands out to me more than an actual Good Friday service.
Yeah, I can see why.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm picking up is that the more experiential services perhaps are more meaningful or memorable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think we do that in a few ways. This coming Good Friday, I hope you attend. It should be a good one. We're trying something different. We're not going to do the seven last words like we've done for the past few years. Yeah, we're going to do something a little different. And you're just going to have to come and find out.
Wow.
I heard about it recently, like super duper recently, and it sounds very interesting. Very.
I don't know anything about this. Mm-hmm. I'm.
Yeah.
Very interested.
Yeah. I'm pulling from what I've done previously, and we're gonna try something new this year for cool. Trinity.
But in all of these, and I assume this one, so the altar gets stripped at the end of the worship service on Thursday, and mm-hmm. so then there's a bare altar on Friday. Maybe. Oh.
Yeah. Mm. Maybe, you know, I guess our altar guild will decide that, you know, okay. I think last year we did have a black cloth on the cross, which is also an option for Good Friday. There is, in fact, I think, is it a black stole or maybe it's like a red stole for Good Friday alone? I can't remember.
For a pastor to wear?
Yes.
For a pastor to wear.
Yeah. That's scarves that pastors and deacons wear, but the deacons have the side.
Otherwise, you would wear the purple for Lent?
Yeah, I would do purple. Yeah.
Interesting.
But I usually just go black on black, black clergy shirt with the little white nub.
Mm-hmm. White nub.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So one of my favorite parts of the Good Friday service, and, you know, spoiler alert, is the very end when... So this is like taken from the Tenebrae service, which is a Latin word for shadows. So it's the service of shadows when the lights get darker mm-hmm. after each reading.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But the very last reading is when Jesus is put in the tomb and the stone is rolled. Favorite part is when whoever is leading or presiding worship takes the Bible or leader copy and slams the book shut.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's this loud boom, as if like the stone mm-hmm. has settled in its spot. And I do it every year, and I love it so mm-hmm. much. Because something that seems so jarring and final isn't.
Yeah.
So anyways, I don't know. It'll happen again this year. But I don't know. That's my favorite part.
Mm-hmm. That's a good part.
So, Heather.
Yes, Tom.
My confirmation friends mm-hmm. always ask me a question. Every year we have asked the pastor or whomever a question. And, you know, I get some funny ones, but the question I always get is, what's so good about Good Friday?
Mm-hmm. I got that question from a Sunday school kid recently, too.
I got that question. I was on working at Luther Park. I was at a VBS. I don't remember where, but they had an intern from seminary, and we were talking about Good Friday, and some of the kids asked, and I was like, it's a really good question. Let's go on a field trip. I feel like it's a very common question. Like, why is it called Good Friday? What is good about it?
Well, I did a deep dive.
Oh boy. Okay.
Can't wait. Yes.
How many hours?
Did I dive into Wikipedia? Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
As one does.
Right. Well, and Wikipedia is always correct.
Always.
Always.
So 100. Let's just establish that.
Yep.
Right. So it listed like what Good Friday is called in a bunch of different countries and a bunch of different languages. Mm-hmm. And so there were some themes. And in a lot of languages, it translates to Holy Friday. Or in German, I think it's Sorrowful Friday.
Oh.
And so Good Friday in English, it was interesting because it said there's one common explanation that has been debunked. That is that that it was like from Old English that it was like Good Friday that it was like God Friday. And then it just like made its way into Good Friday. But they were like, that's not what it is, actually. It's more like saying that the Bible is the good book, like good meaning holy or important. So using good in that sense of the word, that Good Friday, like the good book.
Do you want to come do the conversation with confirmation kids? Because I've been lying to them for years.
Have you been telling them?
Well, I just talk about Jesus on the cross.
Well, that's what I thought it was, too, is it's good because for that reason, like Jesus died, and it's for the good that is to come later on. You know what I mean?
I mean, I suppose, but like Good Friday sucks.
Yeah, it does.
Right? Like I get that explanation that like it's leading towards something good, but Good Friday itself doesn't feel good. Like it's the uncomfortable day. Like I just personally don't think that that's a good explanation, that like it's pointing to something good, because Good Friday feels like the bad guys are winning. That's not good. So I'm going to go with the Wikipedia explanation of like the good book.
Oh, yeah.
Good Friday. That's my vote.
You know, I'm sure you're right and Wikipedia is right, but I'm jiving with the German explanation of like a sorrowful Friday.
I was going to say.
It seems very German, right? Like it's like one long word.
But it's also, to me, that one feels the most accurate.
Yeah. We'll go with that.
So how I've been explaining Good Friday and kind of, you know, like, yeah, well, Jesus died. And, you know, why did Jesus die? Well, you know, to save us. But that gets to atonement theories, which is...
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. There are so many atonement theories. And so you're wondering, what is an atonement theory?
I was just going to ask that.
And what does this have to do with Good Friday?
Yeah.
Pastor and so, Tom, what's an atonement theory?
So... really, an atonement theory should just be one of those things that should never be talked about from the pulpit, perhaps, or on a podcast. But I say that because there are so many different atonement theories, of those theories of how God saves or for what purpose God saves in the cross.
Or like, or through the why cross. Did Jesus die on the cross? Or what happened when Jesus died on the cross?
So there are lots of different ideas out there. Like... I can't commend enough. Where'd I put it? The podcast Strange New World, Understanding Easter Part 2. I think it's Matthew Meyer Bolton that does this podcast. He goes through 10 different atonement theories. And it's really good. It's like a half hour, 40-minute episode. But he just nails through a bunch and ties them together. At least it flows. So, great listen. But the atonement theory, the attempt to understand God's work in the cross that I have been really drawn to lately is based on James Cone, right?
Mm.
I'm forgetting. Cone is the last name.
Yes.
It's James Cone. The cross and the lynching tree. So it's viewing the cross as a lynching tree.
Yeah.
So how did the Roman Empire use the cross as a tool of execution and subjugation, much like a lynching tree was for black people in the South? So trying to compare those two and then look at how is God at work in the midst of oppression and pain, and where do we find God? And so if we look through that lens, seeing God with the marginalized and the oppressed, and then you look at, you know, the Gospel of Luke, that's where Jesus is, right? It transforms the cross to me to be less of this triumphal, you know, Christ the King sort of thing, as more of a Jesus subverting this symbol of death into something that is horrible, but eventually something is going to come from that. That like, that's not the end. The cross is not the end. It's the empty tomb, which to me is like, I keep thinking of the cross like as a tool of death, and like, okay, so what's our tool of death here in America or in 2023? Or how has, you know, the prison system executed people? Like, how does that, that's a similar symbol, but how do we, how does that become transformative or redemptive? And so the thing in and of itself is not, so I don't know, I'm going off on a tangent now.
Well, I think, so to juxtapose that with other atonement theories, you talked about this podcast that lists a whole bunch. We hear a lot of different atonement theories in different, like Christian media, or, you know, especially different Christian music. So like when you hear things like Jesus paid the price for our sins, or, what are the, some of the other, you know, when you hear about the blood of Jesus, you know, washing away our sins, or, that's not funny.
Well, no, well, well, okay. Well, you think of, okay, if you've seen the movie Gladiator, they walk through a bunch of bull's blood to wash themselves and purify themselves before they enter back. Like, it's the same thing, right? It's that same sort of theology that the blood cleanses you. And I don't know. It just seems so weird.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've said this before, not on this podcast, but I don't like singing about blood. Like, I just think that's gross. So I don't particularly like that atonement theory. But, you know, I think that it's easy for Christians to hear, you know, Christian music on the radio, or just the kind of popular, the ways that Christian beliefs are kind of in public in American society. I think it's easy to absorb some of those atonement theories that don't match with the theology of, you know, the ELCA, the Lutheran Church. And so when, you know, I've had kids come up to me and say like, oh yeah, I know why Jesus died on the cross. He died to pay the price to the devil. And I'm just like, I don't think that's what I'm going to go with. Like, but it just makes me think, like, where do you pick this up? Well, you hear it in music. You hear it, you know, in just the culture, in the way that Christianity just kind of permeates the world around us. And I think a lot of that comes from these different atonement theories that are not necessary. I mean, there's, in my research here, one of the interesting things that, one of the interesting things that I came across was, that in the early church, there were all these councils, like the Council of Nicaea, where the Nicene Creed came out, where like all these, you know, baby Christians got together and like decided like, okay, this is the truth. This is what we're going to go forward with. Like, this is what we believe. This is what Christianity is. And so that's where we got these creeds and other things. You know, the idea of like the Trinity comes from one of these, but there was never a council that decided on the reason why Jesus died on the cross. There was never a council that decided on an atonement theory. And so there are lots of them. And so you could have disagreement with another Christian, both still be Christian and really disagree about this. And there's not necessarily one right answer that we can decide on.
So maybe this is probably a really obvious answer and it's just not coming to my brain. But what what do Lutherans or ELCA, what do we believe? Like, that reason is.
And I think it goes back to some of our previous conversations that the ELCA holds a lot of different people mm-hmm. in the denomination. So I think there's a wide breadth of atonement theories in ELCA churches. I think it just honestly it depends on whoever is preaching or whoever is leading worship, like what gets talked mm-hmm. about.
And then you've got, you know, I had a seminary professor who, after a whole semester talking about the book of Luke, at the end we're having kind of just conversation with the professor, and he's talking about what kind of, you know, what's the reason for the cross. And, you know, we had talked about crucifixion a lot, and someone asked, like, well, do you think that God could have, you know, saved us, whatever, without Jesus dying on the cross? And he's like, I think so, yeah. And we're like, whoa, okay, that is like a whole different idea.
Yeah.
But like, oh, you, okay. But that makes me think.
But makes sense, right? Because then we're limiting God's action to something.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. I think just listening to you guys talk is just, it's so interesting because there's not a right or wrong answer necessarily. But I think that it's just, I don't know, this discussion is just cool because it's like, oh, learning all sorts of things and like makes you ponder, like, what do I think?
Right.
Like, what have I grown up hearing, you know, but then as an adult who's able to form their own opinions and whatever, what is it that I believe mm-hmm. or think or whatever? Interesting.
Well, I know that thinking about Good Friday makes me think that, you know, when we leave church at the end of Good Friday, it feels like the bad guys have won, mm-hmm. right? Because Jesus is dead on the cross. Mm-hmm. And spoiler alert, that's not the end of the story.
It's not?
So
there's more?
But wait.
Stay tuned for our next episode where we'll talk about what happens next.
Yeah.
So, as always, if you have questions, comments, suggestions for us, let us know. You can email Katie at...
Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at trinity-ec.org. And we're especially looking for questions for our next series. So if you have them, or if you just have maybe a topic that you want us to dive deeper into, let us know. We're open to anything. And we love hearing from you guys, so... thank you.
All right. Have a good Friday.
Stop.
Oh my gosh. Bye.